I stand by my statement that it wasn't superior Sentai. It was inferior Sentai, and it was time for Super Sentai to die because of that. I'll explain why. This is Heart and Sold, the Henshin Reflection miniseries where we look at the business behind the belts and the truth behind the toys. Super Sentai is ending, and today we dig into why, with real numbers, real quotes, and the real reasons Toei finally made the cut. So we've just received the trailer for Project Red, and we have new insights about it. We're not going to talk about that now, but that was definitely what sparked me talking about this at this time, because it deserves the attention. It needs to be talked about. So here we go. So there were articles by Shirakura, and there was an article by Mr. Tane from Livedoor, and I have links in the description so you can check that stuff out. But basically, everything I have here is a synthesis of that. I'm presenting it with quotes, and again, you can look to the articles for this specific information when you need it. So there was a twist that saved Sentai and then trapped it. In the early 90s, G-Ranger introduced something shocking, a sixth ranger. He was antagonistic at first, then he was redeemed. That twist electrified viewers. Shirakura later admitted that Power Rangers adapting G-Ranger helped the franchise survive. He said that without it, Power Rangers, Sentai might have ended back then. Also, the Six Ranger twist is part of what kept Super Sentai alive, but that could only last for so long. But it was something that was used in the American version. I believe firmly that change, that whole Green Ranger thing, the Green with Evil saga is what hooked us into Power Rangers. I couldn't let go of Tommy, and I couldn't let go of the show for so long because of the impact of that and the memory of that. And that's why I came back after I stopped watching for a while. I came back for Dino Thunder, and then it hooked me again because Tommy was there and it was great. And I realized that Power Rangers was a lot of fun and it was something I was into again. And it wasn't something, you know, that I could just cast aside easily because it was so enjoyable. And his return was part of that. But here's the thing. It worked for Super Sentai at the time, which was at the verge of collapse, Shirakura said in the interview, but it was, you know, saved by that. It worked at the time for them, and it definitely helped make Power Rangers the powerhouse that it was. But the problem is that Toei took the wrong lesson from it. Instead of inventing the next twist, they repeated the same one every year. I haven't counted and gone back to check it out, but I know there's six Rangers and extra Rangers all over the place every single time, and it's not always the same story, but it's almost kind of the same story. And it's just the six Rangers stopped being special. It became mandatory, formula predictable. What saved Sentai in 1992 eventually became one of the things that hollowed it out, and that's not good. It's because they kept relying on that thing. All right, here we're moving into section 2. The Sentai formula made sense in the analog era. So people forget that Sentai was designed for a world with no DVR, no streaming, and unreliable VHS. And Betamax, too. If a kid missed an episode, they needed the show to reset. So the weekly ritual worked. It was a roll call. It was a fight. They would combine the mecha. They would have victory over the enemy and destroy it, blow it up, and repeat. At first they would fight it, they would blow it up, then it would get big, so there'd be a second fight. And it was functional, it was necessary, it was even brilliant for the time, but we moved on from that, and Sentai didn't. Sentai hasn't. Honestly, Power Rangers, the mecha fights in Power Rangers and Sentai have been something that I've been irritated with and skipped and didn't like for a long time. GoBusters, where they decided to pointedly change the formula for how things were going, was very fun because it put different win conditions and it changed the model for how they did things, and that excited me. And after a while, it kind of got samey again, you could say. But anyway, that's a discussion for another time. Moving on, the audience evolved. Shirakawa said that long ongoing stories are what audiences respond to today. He cited the MCU. He didn't talk about Kamen Rider, but that's my idea. He says the MCU trained us to follow characters across years. Steve Rogers and Tony Stark carried people through 22 movies. I think that's how much the Infinity Saga is. That long-form storytelling creates emotional loyalty. Kamen Rider understood this when it returned with Kuga. The show blended weekly mystery with serialized character growth, and power felt tied to interchange, and power grew. Kuga has a bunch of forms, I think 9 forms, but they all make sense, and they all come in the context of the show, and as he grows, and as Godai is learning new things and experiencing new things, he has access to this new power, which helps him to flow through the narrative, and it also helped with toy sales. Even Power Rangers, from Mighty Morphin through, really, you could say a lot, you could argue Last Galaxy, I think, because Bulk and Skull are involved there, but definitely like in space. It built like a 7-season saga with ongoing continuity, and it added all these different things. to it. You had the folding in of the Aquatar Rangers and of Edenoi and this, you know, history for Alpha 5 and Zordon. And just like there's this big continuity. There was the group of evil aliens. I can't remember what they were called. Not the United Arab Emirates. The UAE. And they were all bad. And they built this universe while trying to adapt the shows and while trying to adapt to what had happened in the need for them to adapt their footage to preserve the same cast of Rangers going from series to series. Meanwhile, Sentai hit the reset every single year. There was no payoff. There was no carryover. There was no emotional anchor. And again, that happened early on in the 90s. And Power Rangers didn't necessarily benefit from having that saga, but I certainly continued watching, and I know other kids who did. And when the Zeo Rangers came in and the cast got replaced in the middle of Zeo, I know some people quit watching, and that wouldn't be surprising if that happened. And it makes sense that having the same audience get new powers and have to adapt to those things would help to keep people engaged in the show and in the narrative. For modern audiences, they want a narrative accumulation, and Sentai offered narrative amnesia as an alternative. And it's still been doing that. Even though we have 10 years later, we have 20 years later movies, we have team-up movies later on. There was something with Dekaranger and some other teams that got brought from the past all together in a single story. Even with Gavan, they had Gavan Type-G in a story with the original Gavan as well. And you could see there's a desire for people to have longer term storytelling and to see these characters come back. But Sentai didn't allow for that, except for in these specials, in these movies, these one-off things. So I want to talk about hard numbers. There's another article that has this Mr. Tane from LiveDoor.net, or he's like a tokusatsu toy expert kind of guy, and he's being interviewed, and I want to talk about his figures. He's Kiyofumi Tane. He is an analyst, and he says that Sentai toys bring in around 6.5 billion yen. Kamen Rider brings in about 30 billion yen. This is per year. And Ultraman brings in between 14 and 20 billion yen. Sentai is not even competing. It is outperformed by Rider nearly 5-1. Tani says bluntly, Sentai toys sales are significantly lower. There's no mystery here. Kids moved to, I don't know. I don't necessarily know. I think the difference is the storytelling, but there's an assertion that it's because kids are on tablets, but then why are they buying Rider toys and Sentai toys? But there's another argument for that, which is that the different groups of people make up the market. So toy-driven shows must evolve, and Sentai didn't. And supposedly, Sentai was selling to kids, and Kamen Rider was selling to adults, or maybe teens, and Ultraman sells toys to collectors. I don't have the figures on that necessarily, but that's the insight that I'm getting from Tane here. Okay, this is something that I've been worried about or frustrated by for years, which is cast, bloat, and shallow characters. More heroes do not equal more sales. Q Ranger proved that flaw. They start off with 9 Rangers. There are dozens of projects. There's a huge development cost to that. Tane explains, the more products there are, the higher the costs, and sales cannot keep up. So bigger casts mean thinner characters, less emotional attachment, no long-term investment. I can't remember the Red Ranger's name from that show. I remember loving the Blue Wolf guy, Garu, and I was sad that we didn't get more from him. Balance and the other guy are interesting. They're the Silver and Gold, the weird snake guy, and the Golden Robot. Those were some interesting characters. And even we had the pink mecha bird lady. I don't remember everybody. It's been a long time since I've watched Q Ranger, but I don't care about the Red Ranger really. And he had this whole connection to Orion and all these other things. And I wasn't really invested in his story, but he got the most power ups and he got the most focus. And the rest of the cast just kind of, I feel like I'm remembering, it was kind of had to stand there sometimes and let him have his big story, and it was too bad. I think the show suffered for that overall. There's no, it's hard to have everybody engaged in all of the team when there's 4 Zords for some reason by the end of the show, and when the Red Ranger's doing piloting one on his own, and it's just doesn't feel like there's enough to connect with and to make you want the stuff. I would argue that Kamen Rider uses one protagonist, even though there are multiple, but he's the one who drives the show and it builds a journey. And Sentai grows the roster and spreads everything thin. It's Kamen Rider can also have big casts as well, but I honestly don't watch Kamen Rider shows that have big casts in them. The biggest I've watched for sure was probably 01. Were there four? Technically, there were like four or five writers in that, and I enjoyed that show. Before that, Ghost had three. Yeah, three, and I enjoyed that show a lot. Moving on. The adult market never really supported Sentai. Tane said, Sentai products are difficult to stock and rarely capture adult demand. So adults, I said this earlier, but this is where it was coming from. I remember because I read through these notes. Adults buy rider belts, adults buy Ultraman figures, and adults don't really buy Sentai Mecha. When kids age out, rider still has a market and Sentai doesn't. Adult fans keep rider alive. Kids alone could not keep Sentai afloat, at least not kids in Japan. Kids worldwide helped, and I'm sure adult Power Ranger fans as well worldwide helped as well. Let's see. So the real killer is that Sentai was funded by Power Rangers. So this is a key factor. There are other things, there are demographics, but the demographics I would think should hit across the whole society, but Rider and Ultra aren't suffering as much. So maybe it has less to do with that and more to do with this. Sentai did not stand on its own financially. It was subsidized for decades by Power Rangers. Tane shows the numbers. When Bandai had global Power Rangers rights, Sentai related toys brought in 21 billion yen, but only 8.8 billion of that was domestic. Over 60% of all revenue for Super Sentai came from overseas, from Power Rangers. Once Hasbro bought Power Rangers in 2018 and took over the toy rights, that global money evaporated overnight. Sentai suddenly had to stand alone on 6.5 billion yen, and it couldn't. Shirakura even said Power Rangers' success supported Sentai for years, so... Again, these things are sourced from real interviews, real news things that I have links to that you can check out and verify what I'm saying. And I'm just presenting it all to you in one clean way. So this is where Sentai truly died. The cancellation is only the burial, really. And it's coming back, whatever, it's on hiatus. I understand, but it's canceled for now, just like Rider was, just like Ultraman was at one point. So there's the MCU problem and Sentai's failure to evolve. Shirakura said something important. Now, this is a quote, now is the time to think about reforming superhero shows themselves. End of the quote. Modern hero storytelling demands long-form arcs and evolving characters. The MCU showed that. Kamen Rider embraced that and has had that going for years. Ultraman reinvented itself repeatedly. And, yeah, I honestly do think Ultraman shows, because they're shorter, have a tighter narrative to them and there's more care put into them and there's more attachment to the characters. I think having the one Ultra... with his support staff of the Science Patrol like team, can't remember what the defense team, it really helps to solidify that cast and make you feel affection for them, and you grow to really enjoy them, and you have a deeper connection with the show, I think. But Sentai refused to change its structure. There are no multi-season journeys, there are no returning protagonists, no emotional payoff. Not that Ultraman and Kamen Rider have that, but like that's something that Sentai could have done. But they always reset, just like Kamen Rider and Ultraman always reset. But still, there's something lacking in the emotional core to Super Sentai, I think, that it comes from the past and it doesn't work in this present. It's a different type of storytelling. So Project Red, is Toei finally making the clear cut and saying, we have to change this. We have to drop Sentai for now and do something different. Otherwise, we can't survive like this. So Shirakura says clearly, Super Spaceship Gavan Infinity will start as the successor to Go Juger, which means it's taking over. It's the successor. It's not a companion. It is a replacement. So far, what we know is that there are three heroes. It's going to be the smaller cast. They have their suits, which look a little bit different. There's not going to be a ton of mecha, I don't think. Although the one gun does look like a mech for sure. It's probably going to be built for serialization. And hopefully it'll be built for adults and kids and built for today and have a model that would be compatible with today. Also, Super Sentai did not have international distribution, really. Although I'm a little dubious on that, because from my understanding, it airs in other countries, in Southeast Asia and some other countries. Like as Power Rangers, like it'll be, Power Rangers, Kyoruger or whatever in Japan, or in Korea, versus like, Ultraman and Kamen Rider are both getting national or international releases. They're getting dubs in other countries in their languages. And Super Sentai is not getting that. And I don't quite understand why it hasn't been able to do that, but that might be a large contributing factor as well. But I just don't think the stories were selling as much as they could have. But maybe it would have worked spread out over multiple countries. Of course, they would have had to invest in putting it in those countries and having a dub or subtitles, probably a dub, in those other countries as well. So anyway, Toei's not rebooting Sentai. That's not what Project Red is. Toei's replacing Sentai's entire storytelling model, I believe. It sounds like they want Project Red to have these interwoven stories going. And I think the three protagonists that we have, or yeah, three main characters that we have, are going to show us how they do that, and whether or not they'll be successful is something to watch for. Project Red exists because Sentai could not evolve from within, so they're setting it aside and they're putting this forward and saying, we have a model that we think will be successful and we're going to do it. So in conclusion, Sentai didn't fail, it froze. So let's go back to Shirakura's opening line. He said, for the sake of the next generation, we should have started the next challenge somewhere. Sentai was built for a different world. It made sense when TV couldn't be rewound. It made sense when toys ruled the market. It made sense when kids drove the numbers. But the world changed. Kids changed. Business changed. And tokusatsu, henshin hero, stories changed. Sentai didn't really change. There were superficial changes, and there were some things that they tried to do to get a little more interesting, but it didn't change enough. It didn't change to meet the market where it was. And that's why it's gone. That's why it's dying. That's why it's dead. It didn't necessarily deserve cancellation, but it deserved evolution. And evolution always begins with an ending. That's what I have to say. What do you think about this? Give me your thoughts, your opinions, your feelings on the ending of Super Sentai, on why, and on what can be done to bring it back, what can be done to make it successful when it comes back. And also, there's some people who are saying that Project Red is doomed to fail as well, and I hope it isn't. It looks really neat. It looks really interesting. And I'm wondering what it has to do to succeed. Do you have any ideas of what it has to do to succeed, or what it must not do, otherwise it'll fail? I'd be curious to know. If you want more coverage of Project Red, Gavan Infinity, that name is too long. Subscribe and stick around. I'll be checking out Gavan Infinity when it debuts. In the meantime, join me for a weekly analysis of Kamen Rider and Ultraman. I have Zets and Omega playlists linked here, wherever you go. They're going to be linked here, and you can find them, and I hope that you check out my coverage of those shows. I've also done other Ultraman series and other Kamen Rider series that I have playlists linked and saved for you to go through to your heart's content. A big one, since Yu Takahashi is the lead writer for Kamen Rider Zets, is I have 01, and then I also have the X-Aid movies, which are a lot of fun and really interesting, and people seem to keep watching those over time. So anyway, until next time, folks, this is MJ with Henshin Inspection signing out.